everybody. Welcome to a Thursday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Horry alongside. We'll take you to 3. Handed up our good friend Phil Benanti. He'll bring you to 5 o'clock today at Fashion Furniture on a Thursday. And then it's time for, incredibly, the NFL season to get started, at least the exhibition or, sorry, preseason. They get very upset if you refer to it as exhibition season. Preseason gets started with the Hall of Fame game, Chargers and the Lions, and that will begin football coverage for us that will last all the way through the Super Bowl. Of course, we'll have the Rams, Raiders, and 49er games from their networks, and then everything else from Westwood One all the way through the Super Bowl. And so from the end of July all the way till mid-February, it's going to be football time, and so we look forward to it. And tonight starts things off, although we have a little bit of a break, and then the rest of the preseason gets started. A lot of football, of course, to talk about. Most of that will happen tomorrow. By the way, I want to mention the good friends, Robert P., Robert S., I will get to your emails probably with Jackson tomorrow. With Jack Furtick today, it's going to be more about basketball. And also, when we talk about the emails, again, tdad1@att.net, tdad, the number one, at att.net. I've got others to go over, and I will get to the ones that do pertain to basketball today, Stephen in particular, and Hector, I will get to yours as well, because it relates to Aaron Judge and the trading deadline. So we'll hit those for sure, and then get to everybody else along the way, and also to our buddy Rick up in the northern reaches of the state. Thanks for the email about Crazy Crab. Really, really appreciate it. It just says, Rick, that you are as old or close to as old as I am, if you remembered Crazy Crab. All right, Jack Furtick with me on a Thursday. I want to get to our great sponsors and everything they do for us and the time they allow us every day to bring you certain aspects of things, including the weather, which comes courtesy of Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Terrific local people, been in the Central Valley since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. Anything you need, 825-5337, 825-Lee's. They also have the Lee's Air Hotline, which enables us to bring guests like Jack Furtick up, and also for Phil during his show, to bring callers from the general public. That is 559-320-1430. Everything for Lee's on the web, leesair.com. Particularly, check them out right now with the deal they have, the $99 checkup of your AC. It has been a very pleasant July, but looking at the forecast, I think we're going to see the 105s and everything back in the next week or so. But for the moment, things look pretty good. The high should top out at 98 today, and again, the lows in the 60s. I don't remember the last time went all the way through July where it actually was cool enough in the 1 or 2 o'clock mode to turn off the whole house fan, but that's what's happened. 98 today, 97 tomorrow, 100 on Saturday, 98 Sunday, 94 on Monday, and then in the extended, we go 96 Tuesday, and then the lows do get up into the low 70s. 101, 103, 105, 103. So a little more seasonal by the end of next week. But for right now, a very, very pleasant forecast. And so enjoy it if you're out there. And one more proviso each and every day. I mentioned this. Stay away from the rivers. They are a lot colder than you think. The current moves a lot more quickly than you might think. And we're hearing too much on a nightly basis about a tragedy here or there in the valley because someone or someones did not heed that word. Anyway, enjoy it, but just be careful out there. And as far as the forecast goes, we'll see if August is kind to us or not. That, of course, will get started tomorrow, but looks really good as we start the month anyway and end the month of July. Anyway, thanks to the guys at Lee's for allowing us the time. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-Lee's. Now at 2:10 in the afternoon, if you're thinking about dinner or you're looking for a late lunch, or maybe you've just decided to double up with lunch and something in between before dinner, I don't care what your priority might be. If you're looking for good food, our buddies at KFC are there for you in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, part of the Bulldog Bread Collective. We're so pleased about that, being part of the solution at Fresno State to help out financially. And right now, they have a couple of great deals going on. One, the Tuesday deal, which is the crispy chicken, tasty tenders, and all of those particular eight-piece offers for $10. Those are there for you. But also, for the month now that we're rolling through and into August, you have got the favorite Phillips back for a limited time at $7. And that is, you can choose from the famous bowl, the classic famous bowl, the tasty tenders, or the crispy chicken. Each will come with a drink, with sides, and even sweet pie poppers. And you can top it all off with the peaches and cream sweet lightning soda, which is terrific. That's at any of the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. They're also right now promoting the terrific movie F1, the movie which is all about Formula One racing. I mentioned this, Brad Pitt really did an outstanding job with this movie. They spent 3 years putting it together, went right into the belly of the beast, had a lot of the drivers cooperating. I mentioned the day that Ollie Bearman actually allowed Brad Pitt to hop in and take a ride. It wasn't the car that he would actually drive in the race, but it was a practice car, which was close enough. And like I said, Martin Brundle, who's a former F1 driver, also a broadcaster now, also jumped in, and the telemetry showed that Martin Brundle is a lot better driver than Brad Pitt is, but Brad Pitt's a lot better actor, and it's a terrific movie. And right now the folks at KFC would love you to check it out, F1 the movie. Again, if you stop by the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, pick up a bucket or two, tell them thanks for being part of the solution at Fresno State. It's terrific to have this international, national, and local company aboard, particularly in this time, because it is all about how much money you can garner, how many players you can retain, and how many you can acquire. And like we said the other day, that's the reality of what we face, and we're going to continue to talk about it because that's what college sports has become. So either you compete or you get run right on by. And the folks at KFC are helping Fresno State compete, and we appreciate that a great deal. And again, bulldogbread.com, that is the NIL. All right, the other reminders here, I'll tell you about the schedule for both stations a little bit later on. We have, like I mentioned, the Hall of Fame game coming up tonight. The Giants and A's are off today, and they get started tomorrow. Go over the entirety of the schedule, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his terrific business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500, or on the web at precisioneng.net. And Ed has the great fundraiser ready to go, year number five, engineering yardage. The last 4 years, for every yard gained through the air by the Fresno State offense, a donation has been made to the Lyles College of Engineering, courtesy of Precision Civil Engineering. He had a proud graduate there on campus, and a lot of work at Precision also went right through that path. And the goal of engineering yardage, to unify athletics and academics, to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully for the last 4 years. We look forward to things getting started on August 23, and we're not that far away now as the Bulldogs kick it off in Lawrence, Kansas. And then finally, our good friend Joe Cruz and his great business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, always allow us the time every day to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. Joe, again, celebrating his 25th anniversary of his great business. He's been a booster at Fresno State for over three decades. If you have any need at all for a valve, in particular, if you work at a plant, if you're a maintenance person, boiler service, anything, if a valve goes down, your business can go down in a big hurry. And in addition to all the terrific pipe fittings, sanitary fittings, chemical hoses they have there, and I do want to mention this, the hose selection there is outstanding. It's a diverse range of food grade, suction, and chemical variations. And so they're all engineered to adhere to rigorous standards, and the food grade hoses prioritize safety and sanitation when handling consumables. So it's a great part of the business there. There are so many things that you can check out in person at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103, or you can go to the web at superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe has a direct email who works for Joe, gabe.bs@gmail.com, or you also can call them at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE. A great business, great components, everything you need there in-house, same-day estimate, same-day service. the critical aspect of Joe's great business and why he's been so successful. He can get to you in a way that the catastrophe that can befall you is avoided. And that's the thing. You know, you have a valve going down. You can't wait. If the valve goes down, your business goes down. So you contact Joe. You stop by. You see him and you see Gabe. You tell him what you need. He addresses the issue, and they'll set it up for you. Same day estimate, same day service. At the same time, if you have a few minutes after Joe solves your problems business-wise, he will tell you what he does for Fresno State and what he'd like to see you do. The best way right now, go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link there. Click on that. It'll take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org is there, Myers Champion Circle. Information for tickets and parking for all events on campus. And then finally, under ways to give, the individual sports clubs. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtig on the board of directors there. Jack coming up in just a moment to talk basketball with me. He said you can call him directly, 559-287-3305. That's his cell to join the timeout club. Or hit him with an email, FurtigJack@AOL.com. There's also links for other sports there, Dugout Club, for instance, for baseball team, for both men's and women's sports there, under ways to give. And then finally, the aforementioned Bulldog Bread Collective. Chris started it at the station, handed it off to Marcus McMurray and the great Bulldog from just a few years ago. Marcus doing a terrific job. Any donation, any sponsorship idea, he'd like to hear from you. Again, BulldogBread.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. I bring this up because there is a Bulldog Bread that is BRED. That's a little different. So, again, check things out at BulldogBread.com. Marcus will get back to you as soon as possible. So thanks to Joe Cruz for allowing us the time to tell you all about how to donate to Fresno State. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, the entire gang at Precision Civil Engineering, to the local operators of KFC at Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman locations, and finally, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. All great people, and we really appreciate them jumping on board. And keep in mind, as I said, Phil will be at Fashion Furniture today with Rod Avedekian, another great, great supporter of athletics at Fresno State and throughout the Valley. As far as high school, JC, you name it, Rod is there every time you need him, and I mean that, and it's been a long, long run where we call Rod up, said, what do you need? We're going to get it done for you. So these are terrific local people. If we can just get more, it'll be even better. And to address that, now we talk to our great friend Jack Furtig, and it's all about basketball and a few other things. Jack, how you doing?
Doing great, Tony. Doing great.
Well, again, thanks for allowing me the time, because I know you have to wait for me to get through the readers, but these are very valuable sponsors, and we really appreciate everything they do for us.
You don't have a show without them, right?
That's absolutely right. And like I said, they are not only tremendous sponsors, they are as important, great people. And it's really something that the Valley prides itself on, which is local folks stepping forward. And we're going to get to that in just a second. Two things I did want to address here very quickly. One, Hector, you said you're upset that the Yankees did not get Mason Miller. We had talked start of the week that the A's, after they said Mason was untouchable because they still have 4 years under his control, we talked about this start of the week with the trading deadline now about 45 minutes away from being finito, that the problem with Mason Miller, he's a great closer, but the A's are not ahead that often. The Yankees looked at it, but the Padres backed up the Brinks truck to put DeVries, who's probably the third best prospect, 18 years old in all of baseball, to put him out there to the A's. There was no way the Yankees could match that, but they did get Bednar from the Pirates, so when Aaron comes back, the Yankees have at least upgraded. The other thing, and I want to turn to you, Jack, about this, came from Steven, and he said, you know what? What's happening with Jonathan Kuminga and the Warriors right now is exactly why college needs to have the same kind of thing in place where you pay your dues and then the leverage starts to turn in the player's way, but not at the start. That it cannot be the players have the leverage before they have paid their dues. Now, Jack, it is wonderful in theory to say that, and with Kuminga, as you're well aware, it is something that he earned from 2020 on till now and is a restricted free agent this year. But it is true, if he doesn't budge, all the Warriors can do in October is a qualifying offer of $7.9 million, and then Kuminga is free, still a very young guy, in the summer to pursue things. Jack, that's the way it should be. But how in hell in college, my friend, even if you reduce the time frames from say 4 or 5 years to 2, how can you keep the courts, Jack, from not siding with the player? It would be great if they would, right, side with common sense. But are you with me that even though that's a wonderful idea and it would mean you have to hang around a while, then you earn your right to leave, there's no way the courts are going to do it? Are you with me there, unfortunately?
Yeah, sure. Sure. I mean, you know, what they say, the greatest indicator of future behavior is past performance. And you've seen what happened in the courts before. I don't know why you would think there would be a change in their philosophy. So until there is, I think what you're going to have is what's going on now.
You and I were talking last week. We mentioned that Bill Walton, when he was finishing his junior year at UCLA, we've talked in reference to Memphis State. I had mentioned that Tubby Finch, their guard, was a terrific player in Memphis State, actually played UCLA for the national championship in what was the first Monday primetime effort in 1973 in St. Louis. And afterward, Walton, who had the right to leave if he wanted to, said, no, I'm coming back because it's more about finishing college than it is the money. Now, it was easy for Bill Walton to say that because he knew how much money was coming his way whenever he came out. But, Jack, that was a time when freshmen were not eligible and you had to at least stay a given amount of time. Was that better for the student-athlete, or is it just me looking at it from a competitive balance standpoint? Is it better for the student-athlete now, period? I'm talking about his overall or her overall well-being in the long term.
Well, I mean, you use the term student-athlete. It was better for the student-athlete then, but now there's no such thing as a student-athlete. Like John Baxter said, it used to be college football, now it's football college. Now it's athlete student, and I'm not even sure that student's part of it. I mean, I guess you have to stay eligible, but it doesn't seem like it's that difficult. And kids are going to 4 schools in 4 years or 5 schools in 5 years. Even though that might be an outlier, you still have kids who are auditioning at their current school to either get more money from that school or to get more money from another school and move on. So the student part of it's really out. There's nothing that's connected to graduation. And as long as there's no academic component, the student-athlete has gone the way of the buffalo.
I agree with you. But more to the point, if what it takes, and I've told you this, Jack, on and off the air, one of my great concerns is not the athlete who wants to move about willy-nilly and take the best deal. And like I said, the game of Frogger keeps hopping to the next lily pad, right? Okay, that's their prerogative. I think ultimately it's a disservice, but to their own long-term future, but that's their choice. But what really bothers me are the ones that say, and a lot of them I think mean it, I want to stay where I'm at, but the money somewhere else is too great. So how does a Fresno State acquire more money, Jack, realistically? I mean, let's start with, say, Mart Center. You and I both know now that you're talking about the early 2000s when the Save Mart Center was put in the ground, and the hope was that it was going to be this great environment, and you and I have talked about the fact that except for very few occasions, we haven't seen it reach anywhere near what we thought it would be consistently. That having been said, is it possible to put 15,000 people in that place night after night if you win, or do you have to win a certain way? Is it just win, baby, or has the internet, has social media, the different priorities of the younger generations coming up changed the dynamic, period, in your opinion?
No, I think you have to win. I mean, we don't know that. You know, it's not like we've won and people haven't come. So I think you have to win first. Now, if you win and let's say you're playing a slowdown style or a style that's not conducive to what's going on now in the country, then, you know, maybe you're going to have to worry about winning and being more attractive to the fan base. However, since the shot clock has come in and has gone from 45 seconds all the way down to 30, you pretty much have to, move a little bit. I mean, you know, Justin Hutson really wanted to shorten the game and play a lot of possessions and get after it defensively. I still believe that if he had consecutive 25 win seasons, that people would show up. People want to be connected to a winner. Now, if you have a choice, sure, you want to go up and down, be exciting. When people talk about the most exciting teams, they always talk about, you know, the running Rebels. And we weren't as talented with Jerry Tarkanian as UNLV, as he was at UNLV, but still went up and down and packed them in. And I remember people still talk about the Oklahoma State game and what a great upset it was. People forget, I think the score of the game was 47-45 because Oklahoma State slowed it down. So, you know, I mean, there were 10,220-plus at that game, and people still talk about it, and they talk about it in a positive way, mainly because if the score is 47-45, you better be 47.
Right. Well, you bring up the Tark situation, and, you know, the original iteration of the Runnin' Rebels in the 70s at the very small Las Vegas Convention Center. It was such an aberration, Jack, because there was no three-point shot and there was no shot clock, and so teams had a tendency to walk it up and down. And here was a team that we said was the perfect match for the city of Las Vegas. And, you know, you're talking about it only took 5,500 or so to fill the convention center. And believe me, they were hanging from the rafters, and they were locals. They were not tourists coming in. But, Jack, it was, we've talked about before, right, the knuckleball in the league of fastballs, right? It was just different. It was different to watch. It was fun to watch. Tark allowed the guys like Machine Gun Thompson, the guys who are local legends, by the way, to just go out there and just gun it, period, because he was undersized and knew it. And yet, you know, you could upset the number one team in the country, as they did in 1977, the USF and Bill Cartwright, because of the way you played. We saw Vance try this with what he had last year, but the depth wasn't there. Is it unrealistic with this team coming in this year, which I told you looks to me like a lot of the early Gonzaga teams, international flavor, veteran guys, unrealistic to think that this is a team that can light up the scoreboard and excite it that way?
I know Vance thinks so. He feels like he thought he had shooters last year, but he knows he has shooters now. And if you take last year's team, I don't think really played his style. A lot of it because he didn't have as many players available as he wanted to. And, you know, they played a lot of zone, and he's not a zone guy. But I know, you know, even back when you were talking about the convention center, when I was at Tennessee, we were undefeated. I think we were, I don't know, top 10 in the country, and we went in there, and we were a slowed-down team. We were a defense-oriented team, and we had 12,700 in the old arena in Knoxville, but we went to UNLV, and even though we wanted to slow it down, they played such a fast pace that they beat us. And it was later on that year was the first time they became number one in the country. Danny Tarkanian was point guard on that team. So you can speed a game up even if someone wants to slow it down. And with the advent of the shot clock, then certainly you can. And back to your question of can he win this year? He knows he has to. And I think everybody who's going to be at the game knows that too. And that's why the more people who are there, I think the better chance the team has. And you'll see a desperate team because it's, you know, no secret that they have to win. So can they win? They're going to do everything in their power to. And I think they're going to be raining threes. And let's just hope that they have enough bodies to go out and pressure the way he wants to. And, you know, it's one of those, I think, if you lose, the game's going to be in the 80s or 90s, as opposed to last year, where they're running a lot of pick and roll, and it wasn't similar, and playing zone defensively, it wasn't conducive to what Vance wanted to do or what he's done his whole life coaching-wise.
Now, we've talked so often, Jack, that you had a lot of stops as an assistant coach, so you saw it in a lot of places, and including USC. Now, when I was a kid, which is a long time ago, one of the things, the symbiotic relationship between football and men's basketball, at UCLA, they used to talk about the fact in the Bruin heyday that the football team could get away with some bad years because the greatness of the basketball team shifted the focus. It didn't mean that the coaches at the football program site at UCLA weren't well aware that they needed to win, but the general public had a tendency to say, here's what reminds me of, Jack, when the Blue Jays lost to the A's back start of the 90s, and the A's had a great team that should have won more than one World Series. The Blue Jays were making their first foray in. Now, that team a few years later won a couple of World Series, but they lost to the A's, and one of the columnists in Toronto said, yeah, we lost. Too bad. Drop the puck. Meaning, yeah, baseball was a nice dalliance over the summer, but what really matters to us is hockey, so it's okay. All right, at UCLA it was kind of, yeah, the football team was losing, but you know what? As long as the basketball team's a dynasty, we're okay. USC was the opposite. It was, you know what? The basketball team could get away with not being great. Those we mentioned one year, they're number two in the country, number three, and couldn't even make it to the NCAAs because you had to win your conference. But by and large, as long as the football team was great, the basketball team was able to hide a little bit. Jack, at Fresno State right now, I would purport to you that nobody can do any hiding, period. The football team, even though Matt Entz is going to have a much longer leash, obviously, the football team desperately wants to have this jumping off point because you need the money behind you to hold on to players. And the basketball program, as you mentioned, is in desperation mode. Is that a positive when both know they're exposed big time? Is that a good thing, or is that undue pressure to an already overpressurized situation?
No, I think you pretty much put, as a coach anyway, you put the pressure on yourself. I don't think that the UCLA football coaches felt like, well, we can just be okay as long as
the basketball team. No, that's what I'm saying. Administratively, I'm talking about, you know, the pressure to win is there. But, I mean, are you worried administratively that everybody's losing their job if this does not work out?
You know, Tony, I remember when Al Bohl was here, and he always, his big thing was balancing the budget. And one year, we were pretty decent. Pat Hill was coaching. We were decent in football, but Boise was undefeated. And it was near the end of the season. And I asked Al, when you're up there, which team are you rooting for? Because if Boise goes undefeated, they go to a big-time bowl, and right, it means a lot more money for Fresno State. Now, you know, is it one of those things where you hope the stadium is full, but you kind of hope Boise wins because if we beat them, we ruin it for the entire conference? And he never did answer me.
Well, and that's the problem, right? Because there isn't a good answer because, and this is what I'm talking about, Jack, if you go out and purport that to your fan base, all right, you better, particularly here in regard to Boise State at that time, you better be ready to take the next train out of town, okay? If you want to say, here's a real good idea, guys, let's go ahead and pull for Boise State. Now, you can even qualify that by saying, we want to beat them desperately, But failing to do so, it's in our best interest, and we've talked about this on air, to have Boise State win. And people go, but we don't want the head of our athletic department saying that, particularly if you follow it with, because it helps us balance the budget. And that's why I'm saying, Jack, at USC and UCLA, the fan bases themselves had a tendency to tend toward the very successful program and left the other one alone. You know, line right about the only thing worse than the coach yelling at you when you're at the end of the bench is when he ceases to yell at you. It means he's given up. They got a bit of a respite. Can anybody in this day and age at Fresno State, because of the necessity of NIL monies, can you have a respite from, look, Saul has other things to worry about. He's got a university to take care of, and I mean, sometimes the myopia in sports is such that people like us, right, look at it from the lens of sport, and a university president will say, yeah, there's this thing called, Fresno State, the campus, that I have to worry about. But from the athletic department on, it's all about sports. What is it like to be in that seat? I mean, if you're Garrett Classy, it's your first year in. But the pressure, Jack, because of the money now, is it exponentially worse than it was before?
Oh, sure. I think so. Because I was, as you said, I was at 9 different Division I schools, and at I'd say a couple of them anyway, or maybe even 3. There was that kind of pressure. Win or you're going to lose your job. And you could really feel it. Now it's even worse because of the NIL situation, where if you lose, not only could you lose your job, but the administration is worried because you're not going to have enough money for the next
coach. That's right. Yep.
It's exponentially worse now. Sure it is, and that's why I'm not the Lone Ranger when I say guys from my era are glad they're not coaching now.
The other thing, Jack, and this swerves into what the conversation is going to be, because naturally I'm in days to come until we kick things off, then once we get to the 23rd of August, by the time we're back on the air on the Monday following the 25th of August, it's going to be about what's happened on the field of play. But, of course, we're not there yet, and practice is closed. So I talk to Jackson a couple times a week, our de facto co-host, and he calls what he can from practice, but he's not allowed to stay either. But all that having been said, right now, you know, my family's involved, as you know, in the restaurant business and has been for a long, long time, and there's always the debate within the confines of the family. If you're going to start a new restaurant, do you want one that's family dining that appeals to the masses, knowing that any downturn in the economy can really destroy you? Or would you rather have a smaller, more exclusive restaurant with higher prices that has a clientele that probably, if they like the ambiance and they like you, the monetary issue is not so great, which means they're more likely to come back if they know it's an exclusive kind of deal? That being the backdrop, if you're looking to appeal to people to come to SMC, or more particularly, any kind of renovation of Bulldog Stadium or a new Bulldog Stadium, which is going to be a tough deal, Jack, are you saying I want to have 20,000 more in the seats at a reduced price, or would you rather say, I don't mind if we're 40,000 a game, I want more big money people to be kowtowed to with special suites and the things we don't have right now? Which one would you be going for, Jack?
Well, in Fresno, I think you have to appeal to the masses. I think it's very similar to Fresno State. A friend of mine used to say some schools teach the masses and some schools teach the classes.
Right.
And you have Stanford who does their culling on the front end. It's very tough to get in. But once you get in, it's almost impossible to flunk out, because it would be a slap in their face. You know, we let this guy in and he's a flunky.
Right.
Fresno State teaches the masses. In other words, we'll give you a chance. But once you get in here, you know, it's up to you whether you want to stay or not. And I think because Fresno is the type of town, I don't know. I mean, it's not like in L.A., where you have a ton of high class donors. I think you want to appeal to your high class donors, but you want to fill the stadium first and foremost, because that gives you an advantage to win. And I think anything that gives you an advantage to win helps you get more people in the suites. I think
right.
The people who are in the suites, you know, you're going to have very few people like Earl Smithkamp, who are just going to give to the university out of the goodness of his heart. And if you lose, he's going to pat you on the back and say, "We'll get him next time." You don't have too many of those in Fresno. And because of it, I think you should get the prices where people can come in, get them in, and, you know, then you maybe build the suites. I think if you start with the high-class donors, I think you're missing the bulk of the Fresno State support. So that's my opinion. I don't know if anybody else feels that way. I know at Toledo, when I first got there, they renovated the Glass Bowl. Toledo's the glass capital
right.
of the world. And a guy named John Savage, who they actually named their arena after while he was still alive, which is unheard of, was the lead dog in terms of getting money for the suites. And he did an unbelievable job, but he told me a long time ago, people don't give to causes, they give to people. And he got Harold McMaster, who had 67 patents on glass, to give $250,000 for a suite, and he didn't even know where the football stadium was. He was the Earl Smithkamp of Toledo. Now, there were more people like that in Toledo because John Savage knew them. I don't think we have a John Savage here who is connected to the high rollers. So we better just fill the stadium, be loud, make a difference in the outcome of the game, and win. Then I think you can get the high class people involved.
Jack, I agree with you in principle, and I will say this, and you know this well because you meet with a lot of these individuals on a weekly basis. The great benefactors of Fresno State, to be blunt about it, are aging out. And that is, from a personal standpoint, it's obviously very, very important because these are people that you love and care about. As far as right. the financial end, when you have the great growers who have passed away and whose families do not feel the need to give, now you got a problem. And that is something that has to be addressed. The money is out there somewhere, but whether they feel the deep kinship, I don't know. We've talked about the disattachment clearly in part of the county. Otherwise, Measure E would not have been a problem. But in the last minute here, and to be continued, here is my question to you about this. And I apologize for the paucity of time. I'll talk to Jackson about it tomorrow. You and I will talk about it next week. The reality, from the time the Bulldog Stadium was conceptualized, it was supposed to be 20,000 seats. By the time it was built in the early 80s, late 70s to early 80s, when it had been put in the ground, went to 30. But if you see like 1985, when it was berms, grass berms on behind the end zones, you wouldn't even recognize the place. They were able to fill in those areas without going up. And the reason that's important is because earthquake standards, if you go up. So, Jack, if you have to have more seating, as your premise states, rather than going after more high-profile, specialized folks with extra suites around, does it then mandate that you're going to have to put a new Bulldog Stadium in the ground, that it is not financially practical to go up right now? What do you say about this in the last 60 seconds, as unfair as that question is with that kind of time?
No, well, I don't know if people know, the University of Michigan is maybe one of the biggest stadiums, and all it is a bowl. And I remember when I was at Toledo, we went up to a game, we watched them play Miami. And the next year, they expanded the seats. And I went, how can you do that? It's just a bowl. They said what they do is they just take it from 24-inch seat and they make it 18. So, you know, for the people in the bleachers, if we ever got to the point where we needed more seats because we were filling it up, you can't do it to the red seats because they're chairs. you can make those a little narrower as opposed to building a new stadium. Obviously, you want to build a new stadium if you can, but if we had the money to build a new stadium, I think we'd be in the Big 12 right now.
Yeah. Well, Jack, there is the dilemma right there. Yep. You know, I mentioned this to Jackson off air the other day. Going through this, and a lot of us go through it, you went through it, empty nesters, you look around and you're in this enormous house without kids around anymore, and you start to say, you know what, I'd like to renovate and I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to knock out this wall, I want to expand the kitchen, you know, now I can use this as another exercise room, maybe another media room, and all of a sudden you say to yourself, you know what, might be better off just to buy another house. Right? Okay.
Absolutely.
Because
yep.
The problem is the other house isn't going to cost you hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, I don't think. So that is the dilemma, right? It would be better to build the stadium, maybe buy SMC, and then also you don't have to worry about where you play while the one place is being renovated. But it one more time, Jack, I'll let you go. What did Donald Meyer say? No matter what the question, Paisan, what is the answer?
Answers money, always.
That's correct. Absolutely. Jack, I appreciate it. I hope people hit you up on the email or give you a call at 287-3305. I'll talk to you next week, my friend. Take care.
See you, Tony.
All right, Jack Fertig, we'll take a break, come back, wrap it up, hand it off to Phil. He'll have a couple hours for you at Fashion Furniture, and then it is time. That's right, for the National Football League, the Hall of Fame game at 5 o'clock tonight. Take a break. Bulldog Hour continues on this Thursday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Buddy, welcome back to 50. A couple minutes ago on the show. Thanks to Jack Fertig for his time. Again, guys, I will get back to the emails as quickly as I can. The stadium issue I will talk to Jackson about tomorrow. It's not going to be, as everybody knows, an easy solution, but it is something that a lot of people have, as you might imagine, a very strong opinion about one way or the other, whether it's renovation or building a new stadium. And so we will ask Jackson about it tomorrow during the time we have. All right, as far as the reminder about the schedule, again, it comes courtesy of Ed Dunkel and everybody at the great business that is Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. And once again, beginning on the 23rd of August when the Bulldogs kick things off in Lawrence, Kansas, it'll be time for year number 5 of engineering yardage. The last 4 years for every yard gained through the air by the Fresno State football team, Ed and his business, given to Fresno State through the Lyles College of Engineering, Ed, a proud graduate, and a lot of the folks at Precision Civil Engineering also went right through the Lyles College of Engineering at Fresno State. And again, the goal to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. We look forward to year number 5 coming up. As far as the schedule goes, I mentioned that, first of all, Phil on a Thursday at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian. Best furniture on the planet, the great conversation of Phil's show, some good eats as well, El Paso across from River Park. That'll be 3 to 5 today, and then it's off to the Hall of Fame game as we kick off the NFL season, the Chargers and the Lions, or some guys wearing uniforms for the Chargers and Lions. I don't think you're going to see regulars out there tonight. We'll see. They'd be better off playing flag football, I think, how they handle things in the Hall of Fame game. But that'll be coming up at 5 o'clock. The Giants and the A's are both off. Of course, the A's dealt Mason Miller to the Padres earlier today, trading deadline just 7 minutes away from concluding, and they got a great prospect. And you can read all about Leo DeBrees, who is the third best-rated prospect in all the land, just 18 years old in high A right now. So the A's get another very talented guy. That's the good news. The bad news is all of this stuff, if John Fisher decides to spend money, will end up benefiting the folks in Las Vegas, not the people in Oakland who really deserve it, or in Sacramento who are doing such a great job of filling the gap for the A's right now. But anyway, I'm sure that Phil will have a lot to say about what's going on as the trading deadline wraps up for Major League Baseball in just a few minutes. The Giants, after getting bageled in the homestand as they lost all six. We'll play those same two teams on the road. They'll be in New York to play the Mets and then in Pittsburgh to play the Pirates. The A's are still home. They will start things tomorrow with the D-backs. And, of course, both teams, as I mentioned, are off today. The Grizzlies are on 790 tonight against Rancho Cucamonga from the stadium at 635, so check that one out as well. As far as the regular lineup goes, Phil normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday with his great show Behind the Bench. You can reach him through the Lee's Air hotline at 320-1430. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com. You'll find the live links and the podcast there. For us, 2 o'clock each and every weekday, you can reach me, TDAD1 at ATT.net, TDAD, the number 1, at ATT.net. Paul Meadows will be back a week from Saturday on the 9th of August with his fine show, Central Valley Sports Report, live from First Ring Sports on 1430, 10 a.m. to noon. So check that one out. And again, the reminder about NIL money is always very, very important. Marcus McMurrian wants to hear from you. Any donation, big or small, any sponsorship idea, bulldogbread.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. And along those lines, once again, we want to thank our friends at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective, part of the solution to the monetary needs at Fresno State. And right now you have the great Phillips deal going on for just $7 at those local KFCs. You can choose from crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl. Each come with a drink, sides, and even sweet pie poppers. And you can top it off with the new peaches and cream sweet lightning soda. Tremendous deal there. Just $7 right now for a limited time. And also keep in mind the long-running Tuesday offer, an 8-piece bucket dark meat, original recipe, or you can go for extra crispy, or for the original tenders themselves. That's just $10 for the 8 pieces there at the local KFCs. So thanks to everybody at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. If you stop by, pick up a bucket or two and tell them thanks for supporting Fresno State. And also, big thank yous go out to Ed Dunkel, everybody at Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, and everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Terrific people, one and all. And you can give Phil a call through the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. Thanks, as always, to Jorge for his great job. Thanks to Jack Furtig. Back tomorrow with Jackson Moore. We will get back to the stadium issue and also get caught up on everything we can as practice continues at Fresno State, getting ready for August 23 in Lawrence, Kansas. This is KFIG Fresno.